This podcast is a copyrighted production of Radio America and is not intended for broadcast. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Whoa, we're within a week of Mother's Day. Wonder what you have on your list. Or are you like me and you actually purchase your Mother's Day gift, hand it to your husband and say, hey, honey, give this to me on Mother's Day or give it to the kids to give me on Mother's Day. And of course, he gratefully accepts it because that means that he doesn't have to worry about me not liking what I get on Mother's Day. But here we are in a week. So if you've got mothers in your life, make sure that you are sending out those cards now. But you know what this week really is? This week is National Moms Night Out, the event that we celebrate every year across the United States, the Thursday night before Mother's Day. And if you want to get involved, if you want to just have an excuse to get up and go with your girlfriends, go to momsnightout.com. That's N-I-T-E. out.com, momsnightout.com, and find an event happening in your area or join us online for a huge Twitter party. However you want to celebrate, grab a glass of wine and celebrate along with us, because after all, we know that Mother's Day really is a lot of work for all of us who have grandparents in our lives, and thank goodness we do. But it's all about the other moms that we try to make happy on Mother's Day. So you got Mom's Night Out as a way to make you happy. So we got Mother's Day going on. We have graduation season coming upon us and the dreaded final exam week. I don't know if, you know what's worse than having to help your children prepare for final exams? Preparing for final exams yourself. I don't know. Right about now, I'm thinking to myself, why in the world did I decide it was a good idea to go back to school? And I got four final exams that I am, I'm not going to say cramming for, but I am preparing for. And it's hopefully I'll get through it. But it's an exciting time of the year. I want to remind you also about some sponsors. Bicycle Playing Cards, a big sponsor of Mom's Night Out. Bicycle has been, you remember Bicycle Playing Cards when you're playing Fish and then you got a little older and you might have used them for some other games that we're not allowed to talk about on the air? But now as an adult, I bet you haven't picked up a pack of cards lately. They are so cool, and Bicycle has so many versions of cards. They're beautiful, they're fun, and grab a pack of Bicycle Playing Cards for National Moms Night Out. We have lots of games on the websites that you can use with cards. We have a great show lined up for you. Carla Brimberg is going to join us to talk about her new book, What You Can Do When You Can Do It. And we'll be right back.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
I am super excited to have with me today one of my dear and longtime friends, Carla Brimberg. She used to be on Mom Talk Radio quite a bit, and you heard her talk about fitness. She's known as Miss Fit Online. I have body envy with her because she just, her body is awesome. And I work really hard to get there, and it doesn't seem to happen. I always think of her saying, more is less, or less is more, Maria, less is more. Anyways, she has teamed up with Ronnie Noon, who was once an assistant producer of multimedia and web technology. She lost a whole bunch of weight. Now she blogs at Ronnie's Way. And they are both joining us to talk about their new book, What You Can When You Can. And I want to welcome both of you ladies to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you.
So, Carla, I have watched you online working on this book for quite some time. Give me an overview of what it is and who should read it.
We have talked, you and I, for so long about basically this, fitting in fitness, how we moms tend to take care of everybody else and kind of let ourselves fall by the wayside. And it's all always done with that backdrop of perfection. I'm not getting on the treadmill because I only have 10 minutes. I don't have an hour. And that kind of was what caused me to reach out to Ronnie, and we partnered up and basically wrote a book that reminds women they're enough where they are starting from today, and that there's no perfection. There's just the baby steps that we need to acknowledge and celebrate, and little tiny shuffles forward consistently, day in, day out. That's what will achieve any of our goals.
Yeah, that's right. And when you get in those, like, really, you don't have time for things. Every little bit counts. And so, Ronnie, what intrigued you about writing this book?
Well, for me, it's kind of it's the epitome of what I needed to hear 15 years ago when I was a yo-yo dieter, when I was one of those people that were seeking perfection. And before I lost the weight, I was only ever in one of two states. I was either motivated and not eating anything except, you know, vegetables and moving as much as I could, or the opposite was true and I was eating everything in sight. And I kind of was always on one side of the scale or the other. And so the book for me is really kind of the answer to that, to finding the balance. It's forgetting perfection and having that realization that every day, every little bit and every little decision matters. It all counts. It all adds up.
So what will they find when they read the book? Is it actual, I guess, small steps to take, or is the motivational part, or a combination?
We split it up into different sections. We did the mindset. We did daily considerations, which are more tips. We did food for thought, which gives you a little more specifics about the food. We did tricks of the trade, and we've kind of broken it down into bite-sized nuggets. The book is tiny, so they can carry it with them, so they can kind of work through it along with us and remind themselves each day of the tiny steps that they could choose to take that day toward their goal.
Right, and then what they won't find really is a meal plan or exactly what to do. It's really more kind of getting into the mindset so that people can, as the tagline says, find healthy living on their own terms. So it's more of getting them in that mindset than telling them and holding their hand at exactly what to do.
Well, don't you think in reality, Carla, that we all know what we have to do?
Thank you. I mean,
like when Ronnie says she was in two different states, we all know we're being good, we're being bad, which are terrible labels to put on either any stage, right, of your life. But we all know what we have to do.
I think the bigger arc, Ronnie and I always say, okay, it's not just a book, it's a movement, is the fact that once you get the book from the library or buy the book, you're automatically part of what we call, because it's the acronym, WICWIC. We use the hashtag WYC, WYC on Twitter, Facebook, all the platforms. So as soon as you touch the book, you're part of that WICWIC community. Mm-hmm. And all you need to do on those days where you're feeling like, oh, I'm careening toward bad Carla, is go to one of these sites or go to our website, and there's a whole world out there already right now using the hashtag, living the lifestyle, people ready to encourage, celebrate your baby steps with you. So it's so much bigger than just the book.
Right, right. And I imagine that this is a lifestyle that any mom in any stage or any person in any stage of their life, whether they're in their 20s or in their 50s, 60s, can live, right? It's not too late.
It's never too late, no. And it's really not only any stage, but really any goal, whether your goal is to lose a few pounds, to learn how to run, to write a novel. The idea
is to declutter your home.
Exactly. So it's more of this mentality to kind of help people get over those hurdles, those things that kind of prevent them from making progress towards a goal because they think it's insurmountable. They think it's impossible. They think that the little things won't matter.
Yeah. So Carla, I imagine that when you were writing the book, I think I watched you writing a lot, and I'm in the middle of it right now where you stay up late and you get up early to finish. What motivates you to do those little steps along the way?
Form like the fitness steps or the book steps?
Or the fitness steps or staying in the right mindset.
You know what? I completely jettisoned the gym during this whole process. So I realized that I needed to make the effort to do those tiny things. I would pretend that the restroom downstairs was broken and go all the way upstairs to my daughter's and use hers. With that awareness, I just started viewing my day through the lens of what you can, when you can. And it shocked me how it really worked.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I know that I've been talking myself out of getting on my bike at 5 a.m. in the morning. And I'm like, no, you know why? Because it makes me feel good and it'll make me perform better throughout the day. Well, ladies, I want to congratulate you. I'm so excited. Tell me before we have to close where our audience can find the book and more information about what you're doing.
No, I would say the best place, really, the one-stop shop would be WYCWYC.com. And there we have our podcast, our blog. You can see the social stream of all of the members of the Wicked community already sharing their successes on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. That's kind of the one-stop shop.
Well, thank you so much for spending some of your day with us on Mom Talk Radio. I'm super excited that you guys got this done and it's out there because you literally are going to change so many people's lives. And we will follow the Wick on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else. And we'll have a link to your book on Mom Talk Radio. So thank you both, Carla and Ronnie, for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
When we return, we're going to turn the spotlight on one mom who is blogging and writing a lot at huntingforrubies.com. So we are turning the spotlight today on a mom who actually is in South Florida. I'm excited about that. That rarely happens here on Mom Talk Radio. She is Casey, and she's the mom of two, a three-year-old and a four-year-old. And she blogs at huntingforrubies.com. You can follow her on Twitter at huntingrubies. And I'm really excited to hear her talk about her blog today because she's accomplishing a lot, particularly in the world of family travel. So welcome, Casey, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks so much.
Okay, so Hunting for Rubies is like kind of a interesting name for a blog and a website. What's the story behind it?
Well, my daughter is Ruby and my son is Hunter, so I kind of just took a play off of that. But beyond that, my kids are 10 and a half months apart. And when they were born, I felt really bogged down and like we weren't going out and seeing the things in our, South Florida. And there's so many things for children here and then beyond the state of Florida. So I felt like I wanted to find those hidden gems. So Hunting for Ruby made sense for me.
Well, that's very interesting because I can't believe you're like one of those clever moms that would come up with such a cute name out of her children's names. But you're right. Like you do get bogged down, particularly when your children are really close together. And I'm feeling your pain there. I had three under 20 months. So you never go anywhere other than your house and the playground. So you have this family travel blog. What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, I think it first started out that I saw my children hitting elementary school and I just felt like I couldn't juggle momhood and a corporate job and helping to provide for my family, which my husband's doing right now. And I also needed to find a sense for myself. And when I was in my 20s, I had applied for a job at Lonely Planet and I wanted to be a travel writer. And so I thought, why not now? We were taking road trips up to New England from Florida. I'm constantly telling moms on Facebook things to do in Disney or places to go in South Florida. And I have that knowledge and that natural ability to like give people tips. And I just kept saying the same things over and over. So why not put it on, one space where I can just share it and have a resource for other moms and families.
Yeah, that makes sense. So where, like, do you have any upcoming trips, like, planned that it's going to give you food for thought on your blog?
Well, we're Disney pass holders, as so many people in Florida are. And so we're constantly going to Disney, and I'm going to roll out a hidden gems of Disney, our favorite underrated things to do. I have a lot of content right now about places to eat in Disney, places to stay. But beyond that, we are doing a 3-week road trip this summer in July, again, up the coast. But this time we're going to make it, my kids, like I said, are 3 and 4, and we're going to make it a little bit of a historical road trip. So we're going to stop in St. Augustine first, to Charleston, South Carolina, to Jamestown, Virginia, and then I grew up in the D.C. area, so we'll do some museums in D.C. and then all the way up to New England. So I'm not sure what the retention is going to be for, like, the historical facts for the kids, but I think it will make it interesting for me and other parents.
And you know what? I actually think, Casey, it's not so much about the retention your children have. I think it's the resiliency and the, like, the foundation that you lay for future travel, right? So they get used to being in the car for 5 hours, and they learn to adapt to hotel rooms or camping grounds or where, however you do it. So I think there's a lot more to it than just the historical knowledge.
Exactly. And one of the things that I do have on my site, are tips on how to travel on the plane with your kids. I've been traveling with my kids without my husband since the very beginning. And so tips for the airport and on the plane. And then, like I said, I grew up in the car driving to Florida from Maryland every year. So I have just this love of road trips. I've driven across the country 3 times,
yeah,
47 states in the United States. So right. I feel super comfortable in the car, and thus my kids do too. So we have a lot of good trips and tips for that.
And you're going to have all those trips outlined on your blog, huntingforrubies.com. We unfortunately have to run, but I want to make sure that everyone follows you throughout the summer, because you do have a lot of really great information and a lot of good trips planned as well. And you've got some free gifts on your website that you're giving away. And so we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio, huntingforrubies.com. Thank you so much, Casey, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to be talking with Dr. Rick Goodman. He is a thought leader and a single father who is an expert on leadership.
You're listening to a podcast from the Radio America Network. Find more podcasts of your favorite shows at radioamerica.org. Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
Wow, this is like a record show. We have another guest from South Florida, which never happens here on Mom Talk Radio. But hey, we're glad to uncover the experts of South Florida. And we're joined by a male from South Florida who has done an amazing thing with a 16-year-old. Actually talked her into unplugging. He is Dr. Rick Goodman, a miracle worker, among other things. But he is a thought leader in the world of leadership and known as one of the most sought-after team-building experts in the United States. He's the author of Living a Championship Life, A Game Plan for Success. And he also co-authored a book with his daughter, Jamie's Journey Travels with My Dad. And it was written when she was 16. But the more amazing thing is that he got her to unplug and leave technology behind for 24 days. I couldn't even do that for 24 hours, Rick. Welcome, Rick Goodman, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks.
That's amazing.
For having me,
Maria. Amazing. How did you get a smartphone out of a teenager's hand?
Well, it wasn't easy, and the challenge was that I found out that 79% of the people ages 18 to 44 had their smartphones with them 22 hours a day, and among the 18-year-olds to 24-year-olds, 89% reached for their phones within 15 minutes of waking, and 74% used it as soon as they got up, and a lot of times they use it as an alarm clock. So the challenge to get it out of her hand was not only difficult, But the key was, how was I going to go about doing that? And that's in lied the challenge. I think if we challenge our children, we're going to spur something in them that may get them to just think a minute. And especially as our children are younger, I find that we've turned maybe not as smart overnight. And our children tend to feel like they're a little bit smarter. So in using a challenge and getting a little innovative with it, I kind of challenged her, basically saying, I don't think you can do this. And she came right back at me and said, yes, I can.
So first of all, where did you go without technology?
Well, we started in Indianapolis, then we went to St. Louis, Chicago, Paris, London, Florence, San Gimignano, Chianti, Venice, Rome, Israel, okay. Madrid, and back.
Okay, so you did a lot of traveling in those 24 days. Okay, here's my thing as a mom. Like, I think I'm almost dependent because I am afraid of, like, I don't know, if we get separated. Like, I just came back from Europe with my kids, and I wouldn't have thought not to give them their smartphone because I was kind of afraid that, like, well, if we get separated, how do you get a hold of me? Like, how did you manage that part?
Well, it was really what happened was my wife at the time was very sick and she was dying of cancer. And she said, I think you guys need to really bond. Most dads put their time into their sons. And I mm-hmm. felt this was my obligation to put that time into my daughter. And the best way to do it was to get her out of her environment. Because when my kids would come down to Florida, they would be in their rooms and texting and tweeting and Facebooking. They wouldn't even talk to us. And then they get into the car and they have their headphones right on there listening. And I had heard from so many parents that felt the same way as me. And I thought this could be one of my last opportunities to connect with her. And I decided I was going to write a book called A Dad's Guide to Traveling with a Teenage Daughter, Generation Y. Like, why would you do it?
Right.
And it ended up turning into her book, Jamie's Journey Travels with My Dad, because she was able to give other kids advice halfway through the trip saying, you know, when your parents are a little bit annoying, hang in there. You may learn something.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was, like, I guess the greatest thing that you learned out of the experience?
Well, the greatest thing I learned was that I could spend time with my child 24 hours a day, kind of getting back to you saying, you know, well, what if we got detached? It was just her and I. So it was the two of us. And I really knew that I had hit my mark at about 1:30 in the morning. We would get home at 1:30 in the morning almost every day, and it was a running joke. And as we were walking through Florence at 1:30 in the morning, my daughter grabbed my hand, and she said, we make a great team. That was halfway
wow.
through the trip. At that point, I knew I hit a grand slam home run, and it was all because we were actually connecting and communicating. There was mm-hmm. no distractions. She had to deal with me, and there was no way out.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. You know, in some ways, I think sometimes as parents, we're almost afraid to make the connection that deep. And I think sometimes we use technology ourselves to create that barrier. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
I think our kids want to connect with us more than ever before. I've even gone back to the personal note, something that people have forgotten, and people want that connection because we're being bombarded with so much technology that, you know, we've lost the art of communication. Our children are mm-hmm. communicating in 145 characters and with emojis and, you know, the English language, the grammar, everything's disappearing. And they really want to know about us. And I
yeah.
think that if we're afraid, and like I say, we don't let the inmates run the asylum. If
right.
we say, all right, we're going and we're doing it, they may not like us at first. They may be a little bit upset. Yet, as it evolves, if we take that leap of faith and that chance, we're going to have the deepest connection ever before. And now, every day, my daughter calls me at 9:30 in the morning on her way to class at the University of Missouri, always talking about me, connecting with me at a deeper level than I could ever have imagined before.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have to just jump in there and say, my son went to the University of Missouri until last year. I love that school. It's awesome.
And my son went there as well. So she's there
awesome.
On a journalism scholarship because the book did so well.
Yeah, my son was going there as well. So, But I think you're absolutely right. I just finished up, and I've got to finish this in 60 seconds, this thought, but I just finished up my book on millennials. And the reason that they do binge watching is because they do want longer narrative, and they do want to like get to know the characters. And hey, guess what? Those characters can be mom and dad. I just want to, before we close, make sure everybody gets your website. It's rickgoodman.com. There you can find all the information on both of your books and on Jamie's book as well. And I want to congratulate you for being one of those smart parents that figured out how to bond with a teenager. And thanks for spending some of your day with us. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to a physician in Toronto who's going to tell us a little bit about sleep and how we can train our children to do it a little bit more.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
So we are traveling to the other ends of the earth today, all the way from South Florida up to Canada. Although there's many Canadians that come to South Florida, but now that it's starting to warm up, they've all gone home. But we are excited to have one Canadian on our show today. That's Dr. Dina Kulik. She is a mother and a pediatrician in Toronto, and she's one of Canada's leading child health care experts. And she has a website, drdina.ca. She works with many organizations, including Kinder Care Pediatrics. She provides primary and consulting care to children and at the Hospital for Sick Children as a pediatric emergency physician. She's joining us here today, and we are super excited to have her with us. So welcome, Dr. Kulik, Dr. Dina, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me.
I want to just like fire off some topics to you because it's not often that we can just pick the brain of a leading pediatrician. If you don't mind, the first one I'd like to start with is sleep, because most moms are sleep deprived, and it's because we don't really train our children when they're babies or toddlers how to go to bed and how to sleep. So what are your tips in that area?
It's a huge conversation, of course. I do start talking about sleep and sleep hygiene very early on with my patients and my own kids and my friends' kids and everyone in my life. Because it's important, I think, to focus on early on and get, you know, sleep hygiene regimented early. So even after a few months of age, kids can start getting used to a particular routine, you know, the way that things are done each day. So, you know, trying to put your baby down at relatively consistent times each day for three naps when their baby's having a bedtime routine, whichever families like, you know, having a bath and having a story and putting on certain PJs, you know, that wind down routine babies start to understand even as early as a month or two, which will really help ongoingly as they go into the sleep training phase, which I start to initiate around 4 or 5 months of age, so very early on.
So you mentioned putting your baby down at a regular time, and I remember when I was trying to put my baby down a lot, it just seems like life gets in the way, and suddenly they're sleeping in the back seat, and they're sleeping on the way, especially if you have another child, on the way to school pickup. How do you work around those kind of things?
I mean, it's difficult. We're all very busy, and our lives are not necessarily regimented, and that's okay, especially if you have older children as well. So I have a four-month-old now who I just sleep trained last weekend, so I'm just in the mess of all this sleep training business as well. So when you have older children, especially, you just have so many things to do, running around with each kid to different programs and for work and seeing friends and all that. I think when you're actively doing sleep training, it's important to try to focus on the sleeping for that, you know, week or two, as long as it takes for the child to get used to the pattern that you're working towards. And then they become a lot more flexible. My children, who are 4 and 2, and my little one is 4 months, they always nap around 12:30 or 1 p.m., always, since they were trained to do so. So if we're driving home from a friend's house, for example, at that time after a play date, they will often fall asleep in the car. They're just used to, for one, being schlepped everywhere, but they're used to that timing. So Once they're trained that way, then it becomes sort of predictable for them. And some kids don't want to sleep elsewhere. You know, once they're well-trained, some kids still want to stay in their beds or want to stay in their cribs. And that's okay. I personally would rather have children that sleep well than overtired kids that are more flexible.
When you say train them, is there a certain method you like to use? I mean, you know, you hear, let them cry, don't let them cry, pick them up, put them down, make sure they're fed. What do you recommend?
There's so many options out there for sure, but for my children personally, I've not found anything that works like cry it out. And cry it out is, you know, a typical extinction technique where you put them down, well fed, of course, you know, well cared for during the day, lots of love, you know, and kind of fill up their love throughout the day and fill up their tummy throughout the day. And then you put them down and you walk away, really. And it's not easy. You know, I just did this last weekend. It's very difficult, very emotional, very draining. But in my experience, training my own and several thousand other people's kids, I find it takes about 2 nights, maybe 3 nights. By the second night, most kids are much, much better and have less minutes, less hours of crying. But the typical child, when you leave them for cried out for the first time, somewhere between 4 and 6 months, they'll cry for somewhere between 45 minutes, maybe an hour or two, and then they start to figure it out. So this past Saturday, we trained my little guy. He cried for 45 minutes and found his thumb. For the first time ever, he sucked his thumb. He had never done it before. I didn't know that he was going to. I was hopeful he would because it's a great self-soothing method. But he found it. And then the second night we put him down, he cried for 45 minutes again, and then he slept the entire rest of the night from 6:45 till 7:30. With one feed, I always offer one, what I call a dream feed, somewhere between 11 and 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. to kind of top them up throughout the night. And then many kids are able to sleep for 12 hours with that one feed. It's amazing. Many kids, you don't even think they'll be capable, and then they just do.
Well, I think why it's so hard for moms to let them cry is that most moms don't realize that babies are born without the ability to fall asleep, and that's something you have to train them to do, and it's okay to let them cry. Can you, in about 30 seconds, tell us your website and what the moms will find there?
DrDina.ca, DrDina.ca. I put that site together about a year ago to ideally provide, you know, one-stop shop for resources for parents, moms, dads, caregivers, grandparents, for all things concerning child health. So from breastfeeding problems to toilet training to adolescent teen moodiness, all those issues. There's lots of bloggers on my site, myself included, and sleep experts, nutritionists, physiotherapists, all different people that deal with child health issues that write for us. And it's a great site. I hope you check it out.
Well, I will, and I am going to have a link on Mom Talk Radio because you are very smart and very knowledgeable, and who has more experience with so many kids but a pediatrician. Thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us, particularly with a four-month-old at home and two others. Congratulations, and we hope that we've provided some moms with some sleeping techniques. So thank you so much for joining us today. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to some fitness.
Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
So it's time to turn our attention to fitness for not only yourself, but, you know, we've already conquered that today. But now we're going to turn our attention to fitness for your child. And we're joined by Ashley Spicer. She is the leading choreographer and dance instructor at Flyaroo Fitness, and they are based out of northern New Jersey, but you can find them in a place close to you. And we're excited to have Ashley with us today. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, how are you? I'm so excited to be on. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So most moms, like, they think about fitness for themselves. They don't really think about it for their child. Do you want to talk about why a mom should enroll in some kind of fitness class with her child?
Definitely. Studies actually show that children who participate in structured physical activities for at least 30 minutes a day, it's very important for children, and that's one of the main reasons why we created this program, Flyaroo Fitness.
So tell me a little bit about it.
Flyaroo Fitness is a children's fitness program. It focuses on yoga and dance, and we implement games into the choreography, like going to the beach, going to the zoo. Every class is ultimately different depending on what theme we're going to be doing. We like to bring the theme to life, and we do this by tapping into a child's imagination, and it really just makes fitness fun.
You also offer yoga. So tell us about the benefits of yoga for children.
Well, yoga is actually really awesome for calming the mind. It's great for growing bodies. And children are already very flexible. We like to build on their strength. And they can relate to a lot of the things we do in yoga, like stretching up tall like a tree or balancing like an airplane. It's all fun for them to pretend, and that's what's so great about our program is they're learning through imagination and learning through play. And Flyover Fitness, we use quick poses. This is great because it helps to keep the kids focused and engaged.
And so tell me, like, where can a mom find a fitness center near them, or where are you located?
Well, while we are founded in northern New Jersey, what's so special about Flyeru is that we offer online training for fitness instructors, and not just fitness instructors, but community centers, preschools, to name a few. Even gyms can get certified in Flyeru Fitness and bring our program to their curriculum. So if you want to hear any information about it, you should definitely visit flyerufitness.com.
I'm wondering, how big are the classes? Like, if you go to the class?
They're relatively small, actually. We pretty much, an average class size depends on how many are in a preschool. So I would say we have classes that range from 20 to even bigger, even 30 kids. But the important thing is that anybody can do Flyeru. It's great for boys, it's great for girls, and it's great because it keeps their attention and they learn through play. Again, we are in over 50 schools nationwide, and we have taught over 1,000 students nationwide.
Wow.
So it's rapidly growing, and it's so much fun.
Before I go, I want to make sure that you spell the website for us so that our listeners and our moms can go in and find it.
Yes, definitely. You can find out any more information on our training program. And to get certified, you can go to Flyeru Fitness. It's FLYARO fitness.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And I encourage everyone to go out and check it out and get fit. And I also want to encourage you to remember that Thursday night is Mom's Night Out. It's going to be a big event. You can follow it online at Mom's Night Out 15. We'll be the Twitter party starts at 8 o'clock. We'll have all sorts of prizes we're giving away. There's parties going on all over the United States. People will be chiming in. And you know what? Pull up a glass of wine, pull up your laptop, go out with a friend. You can join us on Twitter by your iPhone. And just be a part of this really exciting night where we celebrate moms. It's all about celebrating moms this week. I'm Maria Bailey, and I appreciate you letting me celebrate some of your time with you. And let's start celebrating Mother's Day a little bit early.